Let's close our eyes and pray. Yes, O Lord, we come to you this morning, O Lord, to hear you speak to us. To hear you, O Lord, reveal your truth to us. To hear you, O Lord, reveal yourself to us. Oh, may you help us, O Lord. May you help us, O Lord, to walk in your ways by faith, O Lord, to trust on your promises, O Lord. Oh, may you speak, O Lord, till your church is built, till this church, O Lord, is built according to your purpose, till this old man, O Lord, is saved and has been redeemed with your blood of the Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray, O Lord, that you may speak to us this morning. We are sitting down, O Lord, we are waiting to hear from you, speaking to us through your words. So be with us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We read the whole chapter just now, but we're just going to focus on verse 13 to verse 16. Before we read verse 13 to verse 16, just to remind you the messages that we had these couple of weeks. That 2 weeks ago, we learned of Job, a man who was stricken with all kinds of suffering. We learned of how his skin was destroyed and how he lost his wealth. And all his children died, yet he continued to have faith in God. We learned of how, when he was faced with all these things, he said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." We know he said, "Yet in my flesh I shall see God." In the same flesh that was stricken with suffering, with a disease that was troubling him day and night, but he knew that he would still see God. And last week we learned from the book of Colossians chapter 3 of how we need to live in this world, but to remember that we are not people of this world. We learned as well that we need to set our hearts and minds into heaven, where our hope is. So this week I want us to look at Hebrews 11. We read the whole of it. It just starts with by faith, and it continues to talk about different people, but starting with by faith. So this chapter has been named by people to be a chapter, what you will call it, a wall of faith, or a chapter where we see all the grades of faith that came before us. But I want to call it a hall of faith, meaning a hall of faith. If you are person who loves sports like me, in boxing we have what we call a hall of fame. Now a hall of fame is where all the past boxers, some of them they've retired, some of them have died, but the best of them have been taken into this hall of fame, and they are taking their pictures and they write their stories and the videos of their fights. And they are taken to this Hall of Fame, a boxing Hall of Fame, so that people one day who want to be a boxer can go there and go and read about these boxers who came before them. So if you wanted to know about Muhammad Ali, you will go to this boxing Hall of Fame and you will see his pictures and his fights, his videos, and you will also read about him and what struggles he went through to be a great in boxing. So this chapter is the same as this boxing Hall of Fame, but it's a Hall of Fame of faith. So that's where all the people who came before us, all the Christians who came before us, who strived to please God, who had faith, that's where they've been recognized and named, so that we may be able to read about them and be encouraged about them. So let's read verse 13 to verse 16, which is where we're going to focus mostly on. Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and treated them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." So where we are reading, brethren, it's a Christian hall of fame. It's a hall of faith for those who came before us. Now we are not reading about it and then just turn to the next page as if it has no significance in our life. But it's there for us to be inspired by it and wish to achieve the same greatness that these people achieved. It is the same like a young boxer who wants to be great in boxing. They go to this hall of fame and they go there and read about all these previous boxers. And they want to be like these previous boxers. So this chapter of Hebrews 11 is the same to us. It's there for us to be inspired by the faith of all these guys who have been mentioned there. Starting with Abel, and it goes and goes and goes. At least there are many different people who lived in many different times. But all that they had, the same thing that they all had, is the fact that they had faith in God. So that's to give you a glimpse of the giants of this hall of faith that we're talking about. We start first with Abel, on how he offered an acceptable sacrifice to God that was better than Cain. And then we go to Enoch, on how God had taken him alive into heaven because God was pleased in him. And they talk about Noah as well, how Noah listened to God when God said, "Go and build an ark." Noah listened to God and went and built an ark for years and years. When people were mocking him and thinking that he was stupid for building an ark. But he built an ark in obedience to God, in faith that God will do what he said he will do. And then you get Sarah as well, who was the wife of Abraham. How God had promised her that she will have a child, even though she was less years of age. But she continued to trust in God, and she did have a child, just as God had said she will have a child. And then we have Joseph, who had faith that God will take the people of Israel out of Egypt. Which is something that happened many centuries after he had died. But he trusted God, that God will take his people out of the land of Egypt. And then we read of Moses, on how Moses trusted God. And one day God made a way in an ocean, and the children of Israel were able to walk in an ocean like they are walking in a road where there's no water. And then we read of Rahab, who was the prostitute, but she trusted God. When the Israelites, the spies, came to look at the land, she welcomed them, and because of her faith, she was saved and not died like her own people. So this list is a long list of people who came before us. And the common thing that they had, all of them, is the fact that they had faith in God. But I want us to look at four things from this story that we read, or from the verses that we read from verse 13 to verse 16. And these four things, the first thing I want us to see is that the object of their faith was God. Meaning that the thing that made them to have faith is God. And the second thing is that these people held on to the promises of God. Even though these promises happened years after they died, but they held on to these promises of God. And the first thing I want us to look at is that they did not waver from their faith in God, meaning that they did not relent. They did not have a moment where they said, no, we don't want your faith in God anymore. But they hold on to their faith in God. And lastly, I want us to see that they all died in faith. So let's look at this object of their faith. In verse 13 and 16, where we are reading, it's a reference to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a story of Abraham, mostly as is found in Genesis chapter 12. Let's read Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to verse 4. And then we can have some context to why this verses mention Abraham and the faith that he had. In Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to verse 4. Genesis 12 from verse 1 to 4. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So here we learn that God commanded Abraham to leave his country and go to where God would show him. We learn that God's command for him to leave his country came with certain promises. God promised to make him a great nation. He promised to make his name great. He promised to make him a blessing. And he promised to curse people who will curse him and to bless people who will bless him. But the promises that God had given to Abraham are not the reasons why Abraham left. In verse 4, we read that, so Abraham left just as God had told him. So when we want to know why did Abraham leave his land of Haran, then the answer is that he left because God had told him. So his reason was because the Lord had told him to leave. It was not because there were these great promises that came with the command to leave, but it was because God was the one who told him to leave. So he understood that these promises, the promise to be a great nation, the promise to be a blessing to others, these were the promises that were flowing from God, and none of them were possible without God. So his object of faith, the thing that he trusted, the thing that he had faith in, was not the promises that God had given him, but it was God himself. And we see another instance where Abraham trusted God in Genesis chapter 22. Let's open there quickly. In Genesis 22, that's where God had commanded Abraham to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. And in this instance, there were no promises. God had just told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son. But God had not made any promise to him that he will resurrect Isaac if he sacrifices him, or he will do a certain thing to Abraham. But Abraham obeyed on the basis that God is the one who had told him to go and sacrifice Abraham. So now we see that all God had told him is that he needs to sacrifice the child, but there was no promise that Isaac will be resurrected afterwards. Yet Abraham still obeyed. So now we see that the reason he obeyed is the fact that he had faith in God. It was not the fact that there were promises that God will give to him, that will make him to now go and obey God. So if Abraham had faith because of the promises, then he would have asked for a promise of resurrection before he would go and sacrifice Isaac. So if God were to come to Abraham and said, go and sacrifice Isaac, and Abraham was only going to do that if there were promises, then Abraham was not going to do it, because he would have trusted in the promises of God. But Abraham obeyed because his faith was in God and not in the promises of God. That's why then we read in Genesis 15, verse 6, where this faith of Abraham is being summarized. In Genesis 15, verse 6, it says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. So Abraham believed God. He did not believe the promises of God per se, but he believed God was able to make good on the promises that he had made to him. And we see the same thing in Hebrews 11, where we are reading in verse 19, where this faith of Abraham is also mentioned. It says, he considered that he was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So when God had told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son Isaac, he believed God and went in faith in God, knowing that God is able to even raise Isaac from the dead. So we see that had Abraham or any of the people we read about in Hebrews 11, and they had faith in the promises of God, but not God himself, then they would have never made it. They would have been discouraged somewhere in their life of Christianity. But why do we say that they would have been discouraged if they had promises, if they had faith in the promises of God, but not faith in God himself? Because we read in verse 13 of Hebrews 11 that they died without seeing these promises. If you read verse 13 of Hebrews 11, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So all these people, most of them, they died without seeing the promises of God. So if their faith was based on the promises of God, then when they were dying and these promises were not fulfilled, then they were going to be discouraged. They were going to stop having faith in these promises, or stop having faith in God altogether. But because they had faith in God, and knowing that God is able to make through their promises, that's what kept them going. So what kept these believers going was that they reminded themselves of the faithfulness of God. It was not easy for them. Sometimes they looked at the promises, and instead of looking at God, and they fell into all kinds of trouble. We know the same Abraham and his wife Sarah. They took the eyes off God, because God had promised them that he will have a son. But later on, we see them now trying to have a son through their own ways. Maybe they were thinking that, well, God said, I will have a son, but it's been long now. So let's try to do something about it. That's when Sarah encouraged Abraham to take Hagar, to marry Hagar, and then he can have a son with Hagar. And they had a son called Ishmael. But then later on, the same people realized that they were not supposed to look at the promises, but to look at God, who is the one who gave the promises. So here we learn that our eyes should always be on God, and our faith should be solely on him, meaning that our faith should be based on God alone, whether or not there are any promises that he gives to us or not. And we should not have faith on any other thing except God. And to avoid the dangers of today's religions that tells you that you need your faith for these certain things. That if your faith is big enough, you can have riches or health or any other thing that people say can have. But our faith should be in God, just as this grace of our faith had faith in God. So let's look at point number two, the fact that they held on to God's promise. We see in verse 13 of Hebrews 11 that they saw these promises from far and they welcomed these promises. Maybe I can just read it again. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." So although these great men and women realized that these promises would not happen in their lifetime, they saw their fulfillment by faith and they rejoiced over him. So Abraham, who was promised a land of inheritance, he never received it in his lifetime. But he looked at it by faith and he rejoiced, knowing full well that God will give his descendants this land that he has promised him. God had promised him that he will be a great nation, but we know that Abraham died with only one son. God had promised him that he'll be blessed, that he'll be a blessing to others, and he will have children as many as the sands of the sea. But he died only having Isaac as his son and having Ishmael left with his mother Hagar. So even though these promises at the time looked like they would never be fulfilled, yet we see in verse 13 that they saw them from afar and they welcomed them. So by welcoming these promises, it means that they saw their fulfillment through the eyes of faith, even though that they knew that they would not be there to witness them. Jesus himself, speaking about the faith of Abraham in John chapter 8, verse 56, he said to the Pharisees, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So Abraham had this promise that he will see the Messiah, but he died and the Messiah only came more than 1,000 years after. But by faith he saw this promise and he rejoiced over this promise of the Messiah. So that's how all of these believers who came before us lived. They saw these promises by faith, that God is able to fulfill these promises just as he said he will fulfill them. And based on that, they saw these promises by faith and they rejoiced, knowing full well that they would die without seeing them by the eyes. But they trusted God, who was able to fulfill these promises. So when Abraham was commanded by God to sacrifice his son, Isaac, Abraham saw this sacrifice that it would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So when God told him to stop and not to sacrifice Isaac, he saw that this sacrifice will still be done, but it will be done in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said he saw this day and rejoiced and was glad over his fulfillment. So he rejoiced over the thought of Christ, who will be the great atonement and acceptable sacrifice for sin. But now we see another thing in verse 13, that these promises made them to be strangers in the world, made them to be aliens or exiles in the same world that they were living in. Because there are such great promises from a great God, they set their minds on God who had made these promises. The eyes were no longer fixed on the things of this world, but were fixed on things above. Now remember that we learned last week when Pastor Dembe was preaching about setting our eyes on the things of this earth, how we were people of this earth, but were not belonging to this earth. That's the same thing that was happening to Abraham, to other patriarchs, to other greats of our faith. Even though they were living among this earth, but they knew that they were not looking towards this earth, but that they were looking to heaven where their God is. So they were on earth living among the people, but this world was strange to them because it was not their home. That's what we read in verse 14. Verse 14 says, "For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland." And verse 16 says, "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." So above all the promises that they heard from God, the greatest of all promises was the promise of eternal life. It was on this promise that they found rest, and they were able to continue their faith in God. So they desired a heavenly home where God dwells, so that they can be with him forever. That's why they were strangers on this earth, because all that was in their minds was heaven, was eternal life, was to see God. That's why we saw with Job, even though he was suffering, but his mind was not on the sufferings of this world. All he said was that, "Even in my flesh shall I see God." So that's the same thing that we see with this grace of faith, that though they were living on this world and they were suffering the same sufferings that people were suffering in this world, and even more because of their faith in God, but their eyes were set on God. So it is not about the promise of heaven, it's about the promise of being with God in heaven. They held on to the promise of God, that God himself is not ashamed to be called their God. So what then, what promise do you as a believer have? Because you never got any specific promise like the Abraham and other patriarchs got. But you have the promise of God, that God shall be your God and you will be with him forever. So let's turn to the third point, that they did not waver in their faith. In verse 15 we read that if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. So we know when Abraham left Haran at the command of God, he never seeks to return again to Haran, because the commandment was for him to leave and go to the land where God will give to him as an inheritance. Even though Haran was still closer to Canaan, even though Haran was still closer to Egypt or other places where Abraham was sojourning to, but he never desired to go back. When Abraham's son Isaac was old enough, and he was old enough to get married, Abraham sent his servant to go to Haran to go and look for a wife for Isaac. But he himself did not want to go back to the same land that God had took him out of. And he told his servant that make sure that Isaac does not go back to the same land. So he took God by his word that you need to leave this land and go to the land that I will show you. And Abraham left his home without intending to ever go back to his home. And he died having never go back to the same place that he grew up in, to the same place that he had called home. And not only that, but he told Isaac, he told his servant that Isaac should not go back to the same land as well. Now when the servant said to him, "So what happens then if I go back there to find a wife for him, but I don't find a wife?" Abraham said to him, "Then come back, you'll be free from the duty you have. You won't need to go back to that land again. but my son should not go back to that land. So we see here that Abraham was not wavering from the faith that he had in God, that God will give him a land to be his inheritance. He held on to the faith that he had in God, and he made sure that his son as well, who would inherit the same promise, would not go back to the same land that God had took him out of. And he was willing to have Isaac remain single if he could not find a wife in Haran, rather than having him and Isaac coming back to the same land. So that was just the extent of their faith and how they were prepared to live their life holding on to the faith that they had in God. So then we are told of other believers who didn't waver from their faith in verses 32 to verse 38. Maybe I can just read it quickly and see the things that happened to many believers who came before us. But even in these things that were happening, they were not willing to leave their faith in God. They were willing to continue to believe in God and to continue to believe in the promises of God. In verse 32 it says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn into, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth." So here we see things that happened to many other Christians, that if we were weak in your faith, they would have made you to go back. That to this things would have made you to lose your faith in God, but they continued to hold on to God. We know of Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den, but God has shut the mouth of the lions, because he will not give Nebuchadnezzar the glory that only God deserved. We know of his friends Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who were thrown into fire for refusing to bow down to an idol, but they did not waver in their faith in God. They held on to their faith in God. And we know of Apostle Paul, who himself writes of the sufferings that he endured, of how he was flogged many times with a whip in his back, on how he was thrown in jail, how he was left for dead and mocked by people, how he was destitute and shipwrecked, and finally he was beheaded by Nero. His head was cut off because he refused to waver in his faith in God. Even today, I was watching some video of three women who were beheaded as well for the name of Christ. I think it was in Somalia. They were told to leave Christianity and be Muslims, but they refused because they had faith in God, and they did not waver in their faith even when faced with death. So our faith, brethren, is not something that we should waver from. We should be prepared to leave our homes for the sake of Christ. We should be prepared to lose our jobs for the sake of Christ. If you had to choose between your job and Christ, you should lose your job. to be prepared to be persecuted. Any kind of persecution that you may suffer for Christ, you should enjoy it. And you should rejoice in it for the sake of Christ. And finally, if we have to lose our lives for Christ, then we should be prepared to lose our life for Christ. I mean, here is different when you speak like that, because those things don't happen. But in many countries, they do happen. In North Nigeria, it is happening. In Iraq and Syria, that's the thing that's happening. Christians have been told to leave their faith in God. If you refuse, then they will kill you. But many Christians, they hold on to their faith. Having been set an example by these great men and women that we read about in Hebrews 11. So, brethren, we should hold on to our faith in God no matter what it takes. We should not desire to go back to our sins. We know how every day we are tempted to go back to the lives that we used to live before we were Christians. How the evil one whispers in our ears that you should go back. Just imagine the things you will do now. If you were to go back, look at the things you could gain by going back. And see the suffering that you have to endure by being a Christian. It's better to go back to their sins, go back to the same life that we're living. But we should resist to go back to our sins. Like this grace that we are reading about, who refused to go back to their sins. In verse 15 it says, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. So they not only refused to return, but they stopped thinking about that land where they are coming from. So we need to stop thinking about the life that we used to live. We should stop thinking about it in a romantic way, how nice it was. Because then we will have an opportunity to return to the same life. So we are strangers in this world. And we should look forward to our home in heaven. We should set our eyes on God who is in heaven. That one day we shall see Him. And all the promises that He has given to us will be fulfilled in that day. So lastly, we see that these great of faith who are now in the hall of faith, they all died in their faith. That's what it says in verse 15. It says they all died in their faith. So the common thing that they had is that all of them, they died without wavering from their faith. They died still holding on to the promises of God, holding on to the faith in God that they had previously. And that's an example for us, that one day we should die as well, holding on to our faith. That we should not lose, or we should not lose courage, or we should not lose heart in the last days of our lives. But as our days come closer to the grave, then we should hold on to God more and more as the day of the coming of Christ comes. So this applies to us, brethren. The Bible tells us that these graves of faith are not just dead in faith, but they are now clouds of witnesses. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, from verse 1 to 12, He says, therefore we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising His shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. They are encouraging us to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, and to endure all the suffering that may come upon us, just as He Himself has endured the cross on our behalf, and to run this race that is set before us with endurance. Because we do have a race, brethren. We have a race that will lead to heaven, and we need to run this race with so much endurance that we should not waver in our faith, regardless of what may come to us or what might happen to us in the future. So, brethren, just to remind you of what we learned today, is that your faith should be in God, that you should not be fooled by the promises of fame or wealth or health or prosperity that have been preached today. But your faith should solely be in God. Well, or not, there are any promises, but the promise that we have is that we shall see God, that we shall be with Him in heaven forever and ever. And be determined to hold on to these promises of His. The promise of eternal life, the promise of heaven, that we shall be with Him. So let us hold on to this promise. And let us not seek to go back to our sins or to think of our previous lives, because then we will have an opportunity to return to that life that Christ has rescued us from. But let us continue to look forward to Christ, who is the perfecter of our faith. And let's look at the example of these great men and women. Let's continue to read our Bibles and learn from them. And look at the things that they went through, but still they continued to have faith in God. And then we will be able to be with them one day and rejoicing together as believers from different tribes and nations and from different times and seasons that we lived. Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray. So we thank you, O Lord, for your word, O Lord, your word that is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, that's able to pierce into the narrow and open up the hearts with its evil. We thank you for it, O Lord, that you may draw unto it even this morning, that we can learn of these men and women, O Lord, who went before us. Men and women, O Lord, who held them to your faith in you, O Lord, who were faced with so much suffering, who had to leave their homes, who had to go to jail and be tortured for your name. But, O Lord, they held on to you. May we hold on to you, O Lord, even in this world. Though we did not face the same persecution that they were facing, but, O Lord, there are so many things that want to distract us from you. O Lord, we remember those who are facing the same persecutions. Those in Iraq, in Syria, in Somalia, in North Nigeria, O Lord. We remember them, O Lord, today. That you, O Lord, may bless them. That you, O Lord, may carry them. You may encourage them to hold on to you. To look towards you, O Lord, who is the perfecter of their faith. So we give you praise and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's sing hymn number 58. Take my life and let it be.